We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Well, as we discussed, the Atlanta Hawks tip off the season tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. And, of course, the pregame show starts at 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. And then tip at 7:30.
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I got a number of questions about what the Hawks will be this year, how things will end up lining up. I mean, what does the split look like between DeAndre Hunter and Zach Risacher? What does it look like with Dyson Daniels when Trey is off the court? Who's handling the ball? I know Kobe Bufkin's got an injury. How does Jalen Johnson look in this kind of, you know, obviously just got paid a ton of money? What does the center position look like? I don't know. Like, I think the Hawks do a pretty good job of kind of keeping things to themselves when it comes to looking out towards the season. And hopefully we'll get some answers to those questions tonight. I know it's a moving target, but I'm excited to see those guys take the floor.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's finally Trey's team. It's finally Trey Young's team. He obviously John Collins and him and then what became a riff or whatever you want to make of that. And then you get DeJounte Murray comes in, and DeJounte is – been very public with talking. He even said the other day that he just got kind of put in the corner during games and when Trey was on the floor. So it's finally Trey's team, and I think it's his moment to prove that it's his team, right? Show that he's the leader and show, hey, this is ours. And you could see some of the stuff in media day that they've put out, and then he's been around and he's got Risacher and Jalen and DeAndre Hunter to a much lesser extent. It's finally his team, so I'm really excited to see how Trey takes over as the one true leader on this team.
Yeah, I agree. And he honestly, with some of the stuff the Hawks have been putting out and listening to him throughout this preseason, he seems comfortable with the fact that it's his team. And I think
he seems
knows
more
it.
Engaged. I feel like he's more engaged as the leader role. I'm not saying overall. I just feel like he talks and sounds like someone that understands – that it's his team and has the confidence that it's his team. It just feels like an engaged leader. And I honestly can't say that I always felt like he had that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
the vibe that he was a leader.
Look at you pulling out the word vibe. I love that. Yeah, I don't know if he's had that vibe either.
All right, well, as we asked you before we went to break in the last segment, the question is, what do you anticipate for the Hawks season this year? You can give us your outlook by calling us at 404-726-0929. This is the wake-up call. We go to the lines. We have Philip in Morgan County. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing today?
What's up, buddy?
I haven't called in a while. I want to hit a few different points real quick and get off the line and let y'all talk about it. First off, a couple of weeks ago, Tiffany said she had nobody in her corner. That hurt me bad, so I had to get that knife pulled out between my shoulder blade. That's why
I'm not there. Phil, I didn't mean you.
Phil. She did.
That's okay. Hurt, I'm just saying.
Phil, sometimes people don't know what they have till they lose it. So yeah. I'm so glad you're back, and I realize ways.
She paved paradise and put up a parking lot. You know what I mean?
So I had to heal up a little bit. I guess Tiff's tribe is trying to represent again, even though I'm lame.
Thank you. Thank you. You're the only one. Thank you.
The other thing is, I'd like y'all to ask Mike Conte if Rob Valentino has done enough to become the head coach of Atlanta United.
That's a good question.
I'd like to know how many drop passes Carson Beck has thrown through the season, because I think that has affected his overall confidence. Mm. And I think Trey Young is just mature. He's just gotten a little older, and it's time for him to be a little bit more stable and engaged. That's the word y'all used a few minutes ago. I think that's the best word.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day, and I'll let you discuss.
We appreciate you.
Good
thanks,
call.
Phil. I will say this.
Covered a number of topics.
I heard Conte ask that very question yesterday on Dukes and Bell, and he said – that he was, you know, obviously didn't know he was pulling for Rob Valentino, but that I think his feeling was that it needed to be a deep playoff run for Valentino. In fact, going into last night's game, he was 10, 10, and 10 in his second time as far as interim overall. So the first time he was an interim in 21 for Heinze, and then this year, his overall record going into last night, so now it's 11, 10, and 10. That's through, 31 games? What was the other one? He had something else about.
Yes, but he talked about the Hawks. He talked about Carson Beck's drops.
Oh, Carson Beck. He had five or six in Saturday night alone, Mike. And
yeah,
I think the one with, and the one with Arian Smith to start the Alabama game, I thought completely changed the game.
Yeah. I know that he's had a bunch of them. And we've talked about it, dude. His playmakers are not who they used to be right now. But I don't know that he's that guy that we saw last year. Maybe that's because he's pressing. The other thing, his point about Trey growing and maturing and becoming older, that's exactly what my thought was. You and I this morning were having this conversation. He's matured. He's grown. He's just older. Sometimes we forget how young some of these guys are when they come into these leagues, into these leadership roles. This entire franchise and city is looking at him. The conversation that the Hawks media put out that Trae Young was having with Zachary Riis-Ashay actually on the sideline of the Falcons game, I thought was really cool insight. Both those guys are kind of mic'd up, and Trey's like, look, it's a basketball city when we're good. This, you know, these guys will have your back. And obviously the Falcons game is you know, off the rails that night against the Chiefs. But I thought that was an awesome conversation, and that was a little bit of insight into how Trey feels about this city and about, you know, kind of leading Zachary Riis-Ashay.
It's given me new optimism, Trey and this team. I mean, I've been critical at times, but it's given me a lot of hope and optimism starting the season.
All right, we go to Coleman and Winder. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Fellow Swedillion here, Sir Swed.
Hi, sir. How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. Great. Like you just said, Bo, I'm excited to see. You know, we just added length with Riis-Ashay alone, adding length to compete with Boston because they're all tall, and to get deeper on the bench. Mm. I'm also excited, like you, Mike, because I'm going to watch it tonight, and I think that they're going to do really good, and I have high expectations for them. I see Eastern Conference Finals, maybe. You know, my
come
football.
On.
Woo!
Let's go.
That's what I said. But y'all do a good job, and I like listening to y'all every day. Keep it up.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks, man. Good call.
What a nice person.
And that's been the theme, right? I'm ready to be hurt again. I hope I'm not hurt. And I think, listen, if we're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals, I ain't going to be hurt about that at all. You talk about championship runs, just a step in the right direction in terms of all the injuries you had last year, what you were the year before, all the moves you made, addition by subtraction, all that stuff. I just think that this is a team it's going to be a little bit of a sleeper, man, primed to kind of make some moves and move in the right direction. See it all. Quinn's system's finally developed. This is finally Trey's team. You have some length and a guy that can set the three. You got some defense possibly at the two. Like, I want to see it all come together. And this recipe start to cook a little bit.
I think the one thing you can say about Quinn Snyder is he gives young players belief in themselves. Talked about that the other day when he got his contract was, it might have been yesterday, but when his contract gets done and then he talks about it, you know, it was a turning point getting Quinn Snyder in here. So now it's time to see it pay off.
Let's go.
On the other side, Falcons and Buccaneers this weekend. A lot is at stake in this one. We'll discuss why on the other side in the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get another guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. All right. Falcons and Bucks. This could mean a lot for the division if the Falcons get a win in this matchup. I know you were breaking that down for us earlier, Bo, but they'd be, what, 4-0?
Yeah.
In the NFC South?
Mm-hmm. And 2-0 against the Bucks.
Yep.
Which would be, you know, they would have any tiebreakers that they would need over them. It's also a conference win, Tiff, which they have one loss now in the conference, which is important because, you know, all those NFC conference games, if you were in a wild card situation, you know, that might be a tiebreaker. You lost one against Seattle. There's a lot on the line in these division games.
Plus, you're going to get, sorry to jump in here, but you'll get the Cowboys, so you get another NFC after that, and then you'll be back to face the Saints, too.
Yeah, you've got a chance to go ahead. I mean, and I said this last week. That's why I thought the Seattle game was so important. And obviously, it ain't going to turn out your way. But it's you're playing teams that you are going to be competing with for playoff spots. And until you get to New Orleans, and you know they might be a little out of it by then. Because Dallas, if I'm not mistaken,
start poking the bear right now. I'm not comfortable with you poking the bear right now.
Dallas, when
like,
I'm
simmer down.
Is Dallas not still 3-3? They're 3-3, so they are. You know, now whatever happens within this week, I think I'm right on that. I double check.
Yeah, I will say this: their losses are some of the most brutal losses you'll ever see.
They're 3-3.
When they lose, they're like, "Hey, we're just going to go ahead and knock this all out." You know what I mean? Like,
destroy the city of Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say we might as well just drown in agony when we do lose. It's brutal to see. So, yeah, but I'm with you, man. You start looking at the possibilities, and I think that's the overall kind of topic of conversation: is this the Falcons' division to lose? Right? When you look at the injuries for the Saints, when you look at the injuries that are just happened this past Monday night with Tampa Bay, right? And the conversation moves forward as, what do you need to get done to make sure that happens? Is it, you know, because the Falcons, we're going to sit here and talk about Matthew Bergeron and Troy Anderson and a couple of other pieces, Micah Abernathy, obviously. But when you look at the other injuries around the division, you're like, man, we ain't doing that bad. Like, we're all right. We're all right. We can come back from this. And so I think that's the conversation you start having. And it's a knock on wood thing because you don't, you know that injuries will happen in any given NFL season. But it does feel like that there is a massive amount of opportunity in front of you. The problem I have is we had this feeling at this point last year, and the games you went on to lose throughout the remaining whatever 10 games of the season were brutal. And I mean brutal. Like some of the ones we had to do post-game for, I was like, nah, I quit. I'm out. I don't want to talk about this one. I don't want to talk about Carolina winning their second game against us. Don't want to talk about Kyler Murray winning his first start of the year, Will Levis winning his first start ever. Don't want to talk about it. And yet, there we were. So it's just tough to kind of project out.
You look at Tampa Bay's offense, Tiff, and I know that the Mike Evans and Chris Godwin injuries are very, topical right now. But they've been very balanced as far as production. I mean, they are they're fifth in rushing yards per carry. Excuse me. They're eighth overall in yards per game in rushing. And they're, seventh in passing yards per game. So they're very balanced. They're one of the better team. They're the best team in the league on third down percentage as far as conversions go. And so they've been pretty good on offense, and they've been a team that has done it both ways. So you can't just say, hey, well, they don't have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, go ahead and start eating the W, Jameis, and let's move on to Dallas, because they're not that team. They're good on both sides of the ball, and they can run the football. They ran 160 yards last time they played you, including 42 from their quarterback.
Yeah. I'm straight. You straight? We straight then.
Jameis-isms.
No, I love it, man.
Sending
it,
us back years and grammar and everything else. But I don't know. There's just so many. The thing for me is they're not very. They have a lot of good players on defense. You look through. You have Vita Vea. You have Kalijah Kancey, Lavonte David. I think Yaya Diaby.
Diaby
is a very good player, and I think he's from Georgia, honestly. I think he went to high school in Georgia. Antoine Winfield.
Times in college.
Yeah, he played Louisville, right?
Yes. No, yes.
I'm looking at his Louisville. Yeah.
I had to think about it.
I said the right. I don't know why. I could have said
Louisville. You seem like more of a Louisville kind of guy.
You love how I say words, don't you?
No, I don't. That's my point.
Well, you always put an emphasis on it. You could just let it go, and nobody would think twice about it. Antoine Winfield Jr., one of the best safeties in the league. So they have I think Zion McCollum's a good player. They have players to their defense, but when you look at their numbers, they've been pretty bad not only against the run, not only against the pass, but in scoring defense as well. So my point is that there's no reason why this game couldn't be another shootout like it was last time.
Yeah. You look at KJ Britt that, is plugged in there, and you'll have to remind me the name of the linebacker that they put on IR right before last game. And it was clear we came out and attacked KJ Britt early on in that game, throwing it over him, throwing it around him, waiting until he dropped back in zone coverage. And that's why you got some of the numbers you got in that game. Lavonte David still playing at an extremely high level. I mean, that guy, it's almost like he's seen a career renewal in terms of what he's been asked to do this year. So, That's kind of where my difficulty comes in as we project this division out and we look around and it's just unfortunate that you're not going to get Tampa Bay's best shot, but at the same time, it does open up doors for opportunities. it's just so hard to project in the NFL. It's any given Sunday. We saw that last, this past weekend where you felt a certain way about your team. You come out flat, you get routed in your worst loss of the season.
See, so. I disagree. You're not going to – I understand what you mean about not getting their best shot because you're not getting –
missing, yes.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that this team won't come out there and give you the best shot that they have, and they have a three-headed monster running back. K-Dotton is a hell of a tight end. I think you're still going to get their best shot. It's just not going to be their healthiest. And you're not getting our healthiest either. We don't know if Troy Anderson will play. We don't know if Matthew Bergeron will play. Drew Dahlman is still out. So you're still missing. We're missing guys, too. And we've missed guys all year, too. So when people talk about the injury thing, we've had it as well. So I hate when people, and I know you're not using that, but I don't like the injury thing. It is what it is. You go out there and play with the guys you got. I do hope Vita Vea misses the game, though.
Well, no, I mean, that was a question last time. We didn't see Antoine Winfield last time. Kalijah Kancey. They're actually, defensively, they're much more healthy than they were last time we saw them, right? And a lot of these guys kind of worked their way back. But that also kind of translates into our conversation in New Orleans. Like Tiffany said, you'll see them in a few weeks as well. There is a massive amount of, it seems like, matchups coming up. And so you can't look at this weekend and say, well, this is a must-win game. No, it's not a must-win game. It's not even in the ballpark of being a must-win game, but you would love to have this one when you look at what they're dealing with.
I mean, we only ran the ball 18 times last time against them. They clearly made an effort to take the run away. They basically last time said, we don't think Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts can beat us through the air. Put everything and all our emphasis into shutting down Bijan and Tyler, and we're going to see if he can beat us through the air. And Kirk Cousins did for the tune of 500 yards. Is there any thought that they might kind of flip their mindset and say, "Hey, we can't let Kirk and Drake and Darnell. We've got to basically keep everything in front of us and play a two deep safety look where if they can run the ball against us." They've got to beat Vita and Kalijah because he's healthy. And I think Levante David, Logan Hall, KJ Britt, those linebackers, they got to beat those guys. We're not going to let them beat us through the air. We're going to play a little bit safer defense.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but okay, so last game we saw Bijan go off, right? So over 100 rushing yards. I feel like now with this team, and you can see different samples of it in each of the game, either Kirk's going off. Now maybe that you've seen, you can have both, right? So it's not something where you can try to make this team one-dimensional. But, again, Bucs defense, you know, has been a
– Well, I think you're spot on. I think what is crazy about what you're hitting on there is that this team is built where they can beat you either way. If you take one away, they're built to where then they can run the ball down your throat, right, and vice versa. That's what the Tampa game proved, I think, to the world is that – if you take away what our perceived strength is, we have another one.
Yeah. Well, and
offensively.
Here's what I'll say, Tiff, to your point. I think these are the kind of games where you learn a lot about your coordinators, right? And one of the reasons it's so hard to win both games in a given year is because there's so much to chew on from the game before. If you're Zach Robinson, you're going, well, we threw it pretty well last time. We had to, but we threw it pretty well. What is the game plan going to be? Well, let's this worked last time. This works. On the flip side, Tampa's going, dude, we got roasted doing this last time. Let's change it. So I think in terms of Zach Robinson and Jimmy Lake, you learn a lot in these rematches, throughout these division games because these guys actually have to almost have two separate game plans. What worked last time, and if they adjust to it, what are we going to do, right? And that's what you'll see in this matchup coming this weekend is a chess match before and during.
And I think to your point as well, both offenses can do that. I think both offenses can flip the script and beat you with run or pass. And Tampa's going to have to, I think, do that with the run and set up the pass with some of their guys. That's why one of you two said it earlier, and I agree, it's something I thought about yesterday. They should, go ahead and just come up. Go ahead and play up tight. Drop a safety in there and dare them to run on you.
So we should have a good game is what you're saying. When we come back here, we got some steak tips for you. That's on the other side on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. You struggling over there?
I just tried to get my microphone fixed. Abe is being Abe out there in the bullpen wanting to argue points that don't make any sense.
Before we get to steak tips.
No, you can't. I would remind you that November. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. He's mad at me.
I know when he does that. I made him mad. It's like you'll just be
mad.
Or you'll say something and then
look
Mike
at him.
Does the head shake.
He's so mad. Ugh. He's had a rough 20 hours. He's no longer in the lead in our NASCAR racing league. Him and I got royally screwed over last night. But go ahead.
Really sorry to hear that.
You want
to
say that me and Abe are the same person? We're not.
Do your brown gas thing. No, I wasn't going to say anything about that.
Yo, he's mad at you.
I know. Why are you so mad?
I just want to do radio. Can we just do radio?
That's what we're doing.
Let's just do that.
But I want you to get your point out because I know it's important to you.
No, it's all good.
Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th. Mike will be there.
I will.
Playing on my team.
I'll probably be shanking him into the woods because I haven't played a warm-up in quite some time.
Don't you want to play golf with me?
I do. We've talked about it. We got to put it together, man.
Did I not tell him Friday?
We'll get out there and try to hit him straight. You know what I mean?
Anyways, go to the 92.9 The Game website. Click on the events page, and you can find the link. It'll tell you all about it. There is only about 20 spots available. I mean, I'm serious. Like it's filling up. And Finley Roofing is going to be out there. Heard from them yesterday. They are officially in. Twin Peaks is in. Hoist.
I love Twin Peaks.
Hydration drinks are in. I think there's somebody. Live Golf is in. I don't even know that, but EW Live Golf, not the real Live Golf.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's it. The Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic on CW.
Well, the EWLF group is in. We've got some New Realm. My friends at New Realm are in. Forgot about that. They'll be out there. They're going to have some the Owl Inn beer will be out there. And Umberto Law and Drew Butler will be out there as well. So it's a big event. Come out. Pets for Vets. It's all for the veterans, guys. So couldn't ask for a better cause.
Yeah, nice work.
It's a great cause.
Anyways, Abe is texting me now about this. I'm just going to ask you guys. I want to ask you guys a question. When Diana Rossini tweets that in order for the Rams to trade Cooper Kupp to the Chiefs, it says they discussed. But the Champs needed to trade to be with a team that was willing to take on a large chunk of the salary and didn't want to give up high picks. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. What did Abe say it meant?
He said that it didn't mean that they were unwilling to trade with anybody if the other team wouldn't take on a lot of the salary, which doesn't make any sense, which is why Abe, as usual, is wrong. Hey, steak's here, Dylan. Let's go.
You know, I get a little workout in the morning, take a cold shower, have a routine.
Cold shower?
Do it like, freezing cold. Well, I can't do a cold plunge. I don't have one. So yeah. I take a freezing cold shower. I have a little routine when I pull into the building of just gratefulness for getting to be on the air, especially when it's Sandra. Yeah. And it's like all these things checking. I got my pen that's important to have with me.
It all lines up.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I walk in and I hear these two lunatics screaming at each other.
I know.
Abe and Bo. So everything I worked like 2 hours to get my head right. You know what I mean?
Could not agree more.
And then I walk in and these two just, volatile, just aggressive men.
And you know the frustrating part, Steak, is I'm sitting here listening to it during the break and I think, man, I hope he doesn't bring that to the air. No, I'm talking about in here.
Don't bring it
in. And I'm
here.
Like, I hope he don't bring that to the air. And the first thing, let me tell you about what Abe said. And I'm like,
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you guys a little quick story.
Oh, Lord.
Lil Bo from Kennesaw
quick.
State.
It's never quick.
I was not that human being until I started working in radio and I worked on this show that it was called Mayhem in the AM and it was on a little signal that could. And
I'm sorry,
Steak,
Mike.
Have you ever
Bell.
Heard of it?
I'm sorry, Mike Bell put you through that. His antics. Because I'm glad I've always been the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Second thing that happened is after getting listen, everybody needs to be coached. You know what I mean? Tough coach. Were you a guy that liked to be coached hard?
I did.
Color of my coffee today.
Oh,
look
wow. Oh, my gosh.
Look
I'm so
that.
Proud of you.
You're black. Yeah. You're
that
black.
It's called accountability. And
right.
She's your accountability
Tiff
coach right now.
Looked at me and was like, is that a milkshake? Are you wearing a dress? Or are you an actual man?
I thought he just had a cup of milk. That's what I thought it was.
You know, listen. If I was a single dude and I was walking around a Starbucks and some pretty lady saw me and she saw the way my coffee looked, she'd say, that guy's soft.
I wouldn't judge that. I was thinking more in terms of just like
health,
everyone,
sweetness.
A little bit. I mean, we all have our vices, right?
Right.
But I would rather
a lot more than you.
I'd rather eat my calories than drink them, right? Wouldn't you rather have a slice of chocolate cake than
to
drink?
In the morning. Not in the morning. I got pure black coffee this morning. All right, couple of quick things. Lionel Messi coming to town a week from Saturday, right? Mm. So it is a beginning of a stretch. And, you know, we've all been here a long time. We joke, Bo has been working in this business a long time. A stretch over the next few years. Where now we just added a playoff game with most famous soccer player in the world, one of maybe the most famous of all time. Throw that on top of Final Four, national titles, SEC titles. This year, obviously, we get the SEC title game, we get the playoff game, and we get the national title game. Then the Major League Baseball All-Star Game up the street coming up this next summer, right? Then we're lined up, obviously, for the holy grail of FIFA World Cup, Super Bowl, Final Four. I've been to every one of these events, and I was just thinking about, like, what should Atlanta be most excited about of all these? Or what's the best atmosphere, having been to every one of these? Because it's Atlanta, literally, you don't need to be, you know, you don't need a PR team to be able to put that out there and say we're the epicenter of sports.
Right.
Like, who's getting all that?
Definitely the epicenter of college football, I can tell you that. When you look at everything you just named coming up.
Well, in 1 year, college football is craziness. Now, I'd argue the best crowds that you'll ever be at are the SEC championship games for the right matchup, right? Louder than a Super Bowl, louder than a national title game. Listen, if anybody's been to Georgia in a national title atmosphere, in the dome was one thing. But there have been games out on the West Coast for national titles where they didn't even sell out, right?
Yeah.
There were Fiesta Bowls and Rose Bowls. But an SEC title game, especially when if you lose, you're out.
Yeah, but I would argue that that Georgia-Alabama game, national championship game that was here, but now that was essentially another SEC championship game. And in a lot of ways, you had two SEC crowds. But
you had two SEC crowds playing in Atlanta.
I've never been to a Super Bowl.
SEC, so Super Bowl is corporate, right? You've been.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say, I will say this about walking into a Super Bowl. There's no building that feels more electric. Like you walk in 2.5 hours before and there is an aura over the building.
There's a buzz in the air. I felt that way. I went to the SEC championship game last year, the Georgia Alabama SEC championship last year, and it's the same way. You're like, oh my God. I can feel it in my chest.
I still remember was sitting with Dylan Raiola, who is the kid, Ryan Puglisi, who is the 5-star out of Boston or out of New England, who had never been to an SEC game before. He's coming to Georgia. Actually went to a Vandy game in Nashville. And we're like, him and his dad. And he's sitting in the stands. And next year he's going to Georgia as a 5-star. I was like, dude, I'm from New England. And I'm just going to tell you, take the exact opposite of anything you could imagine in your life in high school and college, what you're about to walk into, you're not going to believe that atmosphere. I'll put SEC at the top. I love Final Four because I'm a college basketball nut, and I love four different schools with four different bands and 5 hours of basketball. But I don't know that it's louder or a cooler atmosphere. You have to love basketball to sit for 5 hours and be way into the Final Four or have great matchups.
Tiff, you've been to a lot of these. You've been to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I covered a couple Super Bowls. Yeah. But the atmosphere, like you were kind of saying,
Buzz is different.
It's a little bit different.
But the crowd is in this. It's a corporate crowd. Listen, tickets are so expensive. Major League Baseball All-Star Game, not a big deal. Like, I think the Home Run Derby, probably better atmosphere than the actual All-Star game.
I can't wait for that one. There's probably not an amount I won't pay to go to that Home Run Derby.
And then we leave anything out? No, I mean, all of them are going to be happy. And then, of course, none of us have been to a World Cup game. Have you been to a World Cup game?
I have not been to a World Cup game.
Okay, so that's going to be, I would imagine at the end of the day,
it'll be the best.
SEC title type, I mean, it's hard with SEC title when it's all on the line, dude. Dude. That is special. Ohio State, Georgia was at that game, so that was a semifinal playoff game on New Year's Eve.
Well,
that was pretty special.
You just see how rocking the Lenny Knight is running. What was it, 18 or 19, where I was there for the semifinal?
Yeah.
No, I actually watched that in Green Bay, but the Eastern Conference semifinal game that they came here and played, that atmosphere was amazing.
United night they won, it was amazing. Boy, we've been lucky in Atlanta.
I'll say this. I played in back-to-back SEC championship games that were 1-2, the Tebow effect, all that kind of thing going on. Dude, just walking in, because you have to do the walkthrough on Friday. Just walking in for the walkthrough on Friday.
Wow.
You're like, dude, this building.
Dude, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
What's it like coming out of the tunnel for that game?
I mean, I got chills in my arm right now. Going out for the coin toss. I'm like, let's go.
All right.
Like the headbutt.
See how much better that is than fighting with somebody in the hallway and all
that. I don't want to fight with Abe. Abe wants to send me 2-day-old tweets. It's proven right.
Definitely the two most hard-headed people in this building.
That's not true at all.
Sandra is in the house. Lots of Hawk stuff, lots of United stuff coming up.
All right, that's it for us here on the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Mike, you know what you can do?
Go to the Odyssey app.
Or stay cool.